Hello and welcome back. We are here in the beautiful city of Darmstadt for Microsoft Technical Summit 2016.
Yes, we are.
And we have a special guest today, and you're going to be talking to a lot of special guests that we're going to have. We're also going to have some sessions intermixed, so make sure you stay tuned. We want any questions that you have to ask us using hashtag MSTS 2016, or you can go to Channel 9, and there is an Ask a Question thing. Let me make sure I turn it on here because... I want you to ask questions. So I'm pushing the button. You can ask questions now. So make sure you ask them right below. Max.
Yes.
How you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you? How are you?
Tell us who you are and what you do, my friend.
So I'm Max. I'm a React developer from Austria, from Vienna. And I work as an open source developer, meaning I do lots and lots of open source.
Awesome. So React is different than most other things.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us, first of all, a little bit about what React is, sort of high level, so we can get into that.
So React is the framework to build dynamic interfaces, right? That's sort of the high level tagline.
Sure.
Contrary to some other frameworks, it's very much declarative. So instead of specifically saying, instead of specifically telling the DOM to create an H2 tag and then set the class name or something, you just tell React to do those things for you. And because you tell it to React instead of directly to the DOM, React can do a lot of performance optimizations under the hood, right? So it's very fast.
So one of the things that I started in the days of jQuery,
yes.
Right? And the way you did it is you dollar signed, grabbed an element, and then did something to it.
Yes.
But you're telling me that that doesn't happen at all.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't happen at all.
So how do you actually get to an element to make a change, or do you even think about it that way?
No, you don't actually think about it that way. That's the interesting thing. React lets you create something called components, which is sort of like HTML tags, except they're much more powerful. They can have state, and you can compute different things in them. Yeah.
So tell me about this notion of a, let's start at the beginning, right? Because you told me that, first of all, it's not something that you sort of change, but it's a component you find. Tell me about components, and then tell me about what makes components different, because I understand that React, you sort of inject HTML in it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about components.
So components sort of consist of a bunch of different things. Components are JavaScript constructs that render some HTML, right? So you tell React to render, for example, an H2 heading with a class name or something. Or you tell React to render a div tag. And these components kind of state. So these components could be something like a checkbox. And instead of relying on a DOM to make sure that our checkbox is checked, we do that in JavaScript, and React makes sure to display the checkbox in a checked state. So instead of giving the browser the control, we take the control and from JavaScript, sort of, which allows us to have a lot more just control over what we do in our applications.
Awesome. So I understand you have a demo.
Yes.
Why don't you sort of walk us through, like, it's kind of a lot to take in.
Yes,
I feel like
course.
If you showed us something, it'd help.
Definitely,
a little
definitely. So this is a little project that I built a while ago, which is called sharingbuttons.io. What it allows you to do is generate sharing buttons for websites, right?
Okay.
So you can select which social networks you want. You can change the URL to something like, let's say we make it channel 9, because that's where we are, right?
Oops. Yep.
Channel 9, msdn.com. We say we're live. And then down there, what we have is the code to make that happen. So now you can see this preview over here. And this is actually what it's going to look like on your website. So you can now take this code, take the HTML and CSS, embed it into your website, and you get these social media sharing buttons.
And so it's just a thing that makes buttons to share,
yes,
but it's
exactly.
All in React.
Exactly. And the nice thing about it is that from a user's perspective, you save a lot of performance.
Sure.
Because if you embed all the sharing buttons from those websites, as you can see down there, that will be a lot more. That will be 170 kilobytes you send down the wire in 16 HTTP requests. So just embedding some A tags is a lot faster than doing the normal thing. Now, this is all built in React. As you can see, when I click anywhere or when I change like the text here, everything auto-updates. So if I click on this sharing button here, which I can do, this is actually what it's going to behave like on your website.
Oh, I see.
So this is actually a live preview. This is actually what the buttons will look like on your website. Now, the thing is that there's a lot of state going on here, right? Like, we need to compute and save what you've selected to show it in the preview, but also to show the code that you're going to copy and paste, right?
So let me pause you right there and let's see, because traditionally what I would do is I would load this whole HTML thing up, and then I would have event handlers to handle anytime you click something, and then I would catch that event,
yeah,
and then I would get to the DOM and do some math or some operations on it to change it, but that's not how you think about it in React.
No, that's kind of still what you think about it in React, and let me show you something, because the interesting thing is that React does the events for you. So,
okay.
For example, what we have here is an input, and we have this onChange thing, which refers to some JavaScript function, which in our case just sets the URL in the state.
Okay.
Right? So you still have events, but the thing is that React takes those events. So normally when you have events with a normal event handler in JavaScript, there's lots of cross-browser inconsistencies, right? So and Internet Explorer and Edge and Chrome and Firefox, everybody handles events slightly differently. For some events, you have to do event.target.screenX or event.target.mousex or those sort of things. That doesn't happen with React. They have a so-called synthetic event system. So what they do is they patch all of those cross-browser inconsistencies, so you just have to worry about writing the right code, not about any cross-browser thing at all.
And then it bubbles the events up in a
exactly.
nice way to get...
Exactly.
Okay. So let's keep going, because I feel like if you tell me more, I'm going to get an understanding.
Yeah, so what happens here is that we have some actions which set the state of our application. So when we change this input of the URL, what's going to happen is we're going to change what the whole application thinks the URL is, right? There is no longer just that part of the application thinks the URL is something and that part thinks it's something else. The whole application has the exact same state all the time. There's no way to break out of that model, all right? So since the whole application now knows what the new URL is that the user wants, we can then go in our application and set the URL down here in the code, but also over here in the preview and up here in the input.
I see, because a URL is like this master bit of information that all other parts of the DOM need.
Exactly. So we should set that kind of like globally in a very nice way, which is this app actions thing.
And now is app actions something that's part of React, or is that something that you've added?
No, that's something that we've added. That's in this case, it's Flux, which is a thing that Facebook open sourced together with React. So if we take a look at the setURL function, which is this thing, all it does is just it says dispatch an action with a certain type and with the URL. And Flux then goes, takes that information, says, oh yeah, we need to update the URL for the entire application, updates the URL for the entire application. And the nice thing about React is it has this model of components that render in the tree. And you can sort of think about it in a cycle. Some of like our URL input down there changes, right? The URL is now suddenly something different. And that URL dispatches an action, which goes to the store, which changes the state. But then it goes to our top-level component in our component hierarchy and says to that component, hey, the URL has changed. You need to re-render. And React re-renders your entire application with that new state, right?
I see.
But the thing is, now what most people think happens here is that React goes in and removes the entire DOM and puts a new DOM in.
Yeah, because that would be wasteful.
Exactly, but React doesn't do that. So what React actually does is it creates a virtual representation of the DOM. So it goes in and says, okay, so we have a div, and inside that div we have an H1. But it's not actual HTML tags, it's just objects, right? It's just JavaScript objects. And so it knows what the DOM was before in that virtual representation. It knows what the DOM is after the change in that virtual representation. And then it sees the differences, right? It can see, okay, the URL has changed. So I need to change this part, and this part. And instead of trashing the entire DOM and putting an entirely new DOM in, it just goes and patches the parts that have changed, which is why it's so performant.
And that's interesting, right? Because now, for example, in your application, the URL, when you change it, affects 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 things. What you're saying is that there's certain parts of the DOM that are not going to change, so why change them?
Exactly.
React does that. So,
exactly.
Okay, so let's see if I understand this right. So it seems like data in a React application lives over here.
Yes.
And then what you do is you tell the data something happened. The data goes back to the top of the React app, and then it decides what to do.
Exactly,
with it.
Yes.
Okay.
And the thing about React is it always re-renders everything to that virtual representation. So you can never get out of sync, which is very nice to work with from a development perspective, because I as a developer just have to look at, okay, what is the state and what does my application look like? And if my application looks wrong, I know that somewhere between this is the state and this is what you should render, something went wrong, right? I just look into my components and go, okay, wait, I have this state now, but then this branch triggers and suddenly everything looks wrong and I just change it, right? Mm-hmm. Or I realize that, hey, actually the state is wrong, right? I need to change what I changed in the state. And that way I know exactly what to look for in my bugs, which is really nice to work with.
So let's talk about, because I think I'm starting to get a grasp of this, but let's talk about components, because it
yes.
feels like there's probably something in there that's really small component.
Yes. Probably the smallest component will be the footer component, which
okay.
is totally uninteresting, right?
Sure.
The only thing it does is it renders a div and a paragraph, right? It's this thing down here, which just shows some text, right?
Yeah.
This just renders standard HTML. Now, what you see here, actually, which is kind of interesting, is that we put HTML into the JavaScript.
Yeah, and that's the part, because I'm seeing, here's a render function.
Yes.
And my guess is that the render function is something important in React.
Yes.
It's what tells the thing to draw whatever.
Exactly.
And so, but you, when you say return, you're returning like HTML.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
So this HTML is actually just syntactic sugar, right? What React gives you is this function, which is called react.createElement, mm-hmm. right? Element, if I could type. Mm-hmm. And then you can put in a div here. And then we say we don't want to have any properties, and then we have some children. So this, what I just wrote here, is exactly the same thing as before, right? We're creating a div with some children. But the thing is, this is really tedious to read. If you imagine this whole tree just always saying React.createElement, that's a pain to read. So Facebook added this sort of syntactic sugar on top of this function, which kind of looks like HTML. It's XML-like, right? It's not exactly HTML. As you can see, we have to write, for example, class name. Mm-hmm. You cannot say div class because class is a reserved keyword in JavaScript. So if you try to say const class for a variable, JavaScript's going to be like, whoa, what are you doing? Yeah. So they changed it to be class name and then alias that to class for the actual HTML. But so this is just, the important part here is that this is just syntactical sugar. You don't have to use it if you want to. It's just way nicer to use, really.
And so is the reason why React does it this way is because it has to know, because this is effectively creating the DOM in JavaScript.
Yes.
But using syntactic sugar over some JavaScript methods in React. And the reason it has to do that is because that's how it knows about the virtual DOM. Is
exactly,
that right?
Exactly.
Okay. And so here's the other question. So I'm looking at this, but this looks like the easiest component. It renders static stuff. How does a component know about changes in the data?
So this is actually, that's a very good question. So let's go into probably the most complex component here, which is the generator component.
Okay.
As you can see, there's lots of code in here.
And this is the component that actually generates the HTML.
Exactly, yes, and renders all of the inputs and stuff. So what you see here is we get this.props thing. And this.props is the data, the attributes that are passed into our component, right? So in this case, we get the data, and then we get out some properties and we compute some things like which selection buttons do we, which types of buttons do we have, which previews do we need to render, that sort of thing, right? And then down here, for example, I make the HTML code that I pull out look nicer because it doesn't have any indentation.
So this is the part, like the part that the generator part, is that the part that takes the data and does the things?
Exactly. So thank you. The thing is that we get past this.props.data thing, which looks like this. Here we just render our generator component, and we say data equals this.state, which is the state of the application in this case, right? This is our most top-level component, the app component. And we never need to worry about when that data changes, because React knows when the data changes. It just goes in and re-renders the component. We don't do anything manually, which is really, really nice, because normally when you use jQuery, you always need to think about, okay, when does the data update? Okay, listen for that. Okay, then fix something. And you don't need to do any of that. You just say, hey, let's change the state, and React just does all the things for you.
That's awesome. So a quick question, because you went really fast.
Yeah,
it looks like there is a root level HTML page.
Which is this thing. So if we go to the very start, what we do here is we say react.render, and then we pass in some root level component, and then we say some HTML, some element, right, that we want to render into.
And what's the HTML page look like for that?
The HTML page is tiny, because the only thing it says is the meta tags, the heading, and then div ID app, right? That's literally it.
I see. And so the spinner is probably some timer thing.
Exactly. So
and then div.app, it says, div.div.id app says render this.
Exactly.
Thing.
We then tell React to render into this specific element.
Okay.
Right. See, the nice thing about React is that the integration story this way is very nice. You can have a legacy application and just render a tiny part of it with React and start like introducing React more and more and more and more until your entire application is converted.
That's interesting because you could create a component that's a root level component. Put that in your application. It might be, you might have all these links on the left-hand side and you want to put something on the right, and that would totally work.
That would totally work. Absolutely no problem.
So let's take a look at the app.
The app component doesn't actually do anything. Like, it's just a component that just renders some header, our header component, our generator, and the footer. Right? That's literally it. So this doesn't do much. But what it does is it listens to the events, and then when the data changes, in the end, React goes, oh yeah, we need to re-render and re-render this entire application.
This is awesome. So once, because I'm looking at the app, but it looks like there's, for the app component, it looks like there's some extra things that you have to do, right?
Yes.
So what are these? Because I'm looking at the footer. The footer just had the render method.
Yes.
It looks like on the app you have some additional methods.
Yes.
Are there some like basic methods for every component that you need to think about updating or using or not using?
So components have lifecycle events, right? So every component goes through a lifecycle. React tells the component, okay, you're going to mount very soon. You are now mounting. You have mounted.
Yeah.
You know? And that way, we as developers can go in and do certain things at certain points in time when our component is rendered. So what we do here is when our component will be rendered, when we first render our app, what we say is fade in the app because we're showing a spinner, right? So we need to like remove the spinner and show the actual app. Then we listen to changes in the state, and then we initialize the analytics, because I do need to have some analytics. And then before we actually remove the app again in the component, we'll unmount the lifecycle hook. What we do is we remove the change listen again, as to not have any old change
listen. Let's change over to the screen so that we can see what he's showing us. So again, initial state is like, this is the first before anything ever happens.
Yeah, so you tell React, this is the very initial state before anything happens. This is the state that this component should have. And then, you know, React does the render thing, and then it tells you, hey, your component has mounted. Your component now exists. And then we say, OK, the component exists, so let's fade it in. Let's remove the loading spinner and show our actual component. Then we listen to changes in the state and initialize the analytics.
So the part that's interesting is that, like, how, when a component renders, like, and maybe this is still, I'm thinking, legacy, but how does a component actually know when a piece of data has changed? Or does React just call these methods when the data has changed and I don't have to worry
exactly.
about
it? You don't have to worry about it at all. Because what React does is it sees that the data has changed, right? It knows that and then goes, oh, well, the data has changed, so I just need to re-render. And when I look at my legacy applications and I look at all of the logic that I have to do.
It's ugly code, man.
Ugly code. Because I have to look about, hey, has the data actually changed? Like, what am I actually doing? I need to listen to things. But here, I just let React handle it, right? I don't have to do any of that.
So the thing about that's interesting with React, and I'm just realizing this now because I'm dense, apparently, is it reminds me of sort of the reactive paradigm.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the reactive paradigm and what it has to do with React.js.
So the reactive paradigm is sort of actions up, data down, right? Mm-hmm. So what, for example, in Angular 1. Whatever, you had a two-way data binding, right? Where you had these tiny encapsulated things of your application, which are sort of like components, but then instead of going to some centralized entity, the store, to change the application state, you go to the parent of the component and say, hey, I've changed. And then that parent goes somewhere else and says, hey, I've changed. And then that goes somewhere else and says, hey, I've changed.
And it's just a mess.
It's a mess because you change your URL and your input, and suddenly your header changed its layout. You're like, what the hell happened?
Yeah,
right? You don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And it's some cross-interdependencies that just can't happen because all you do here is you map the state to some DOM, right? And that's everything you do.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool because what you're telling me is that there's still events, but the events, what it does is it modifies the state, and then the state goes to the top of the DOM and says, I've got some changes. And it may be that change doesn't do anything to the majority of the application,
exactly.
But it will change a number of other things.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. So where can people go to find this app? Is this on GitHub?
This is on GitHub, yes. So if you go to my GitHub profile, github.com/mxsdbr/sharingbuttons.io, you can find it. MXSDBR is my name without vowels,
in case you're
confused about that.
That's awesome.
So when it loads, you'll see it has a GitHub page and everything. You can contribute. We have tons of open features that we want to add, more social networks, even faster, all sorts of things.
Is there a way to debug these things? I mean, there's got to be a way to like know what components are rendering.
Exactly.
And why.
So what you have is the React DevTools, which is an extension for Chrome and Firefox, I think. So over here, I can go to React. And instead of just seeing, so if I would go to Elements, right, what I would see is some data React.
Eventually was rendered out.
Yeah, well, eventually was rendered out. I don't actually care about that. What I want to know is which components are in there, right?
Yeah.
So I can go to the React DevTools and actually see, let me make that a bit bigger, and actually see which components are in it. So here, see, I've rendered the app component with this state.
And there's the footer, that's the easy one.
Exactly, and then we have the generator in here, which renders a bunch of other stuff, right? So we see the generator with all of its divs and inputs and labels, and you can see in the left hand, in the actual browser, how when we hover over a component, it shows us what that component
it's
has
It's also telling
rendered.
You what data it has in there.
Exactly.
Right?
So here it tells me, hey, the data of the generator is the general styling, which is just the styling that we apply, which icon state we have, which
right.
I can change down here. So if I change this, you actually just saw how it changed in the React DevTools, right? So now we have solid circle icons, or
Got
we
it.
Just have circle icons, right? And then circle is true, but solid is false again.
So, I mean, this is pretty cool. We didn't touch on Flux too much. Can
yes.
you give us sort of like 30 seconds on what Flux is and why?
So Flux is exactly this actions up, data down thing, right? It gives you a centralized entity, the store, which you change things in, which changes the state and which tells React to re-render. Flux is actually no longer very much developed. There's now a better way to do it, which is called Redux,
okay.
which is the same thing, except it's functional and pure, so it's easier to test. So that's what the majority of people use. This is quite old, this project, so I still use Flux for that.
So React and Redux. Now, can you use React without Redux or Flux?
Yes, you can use React just as React.
And if you do, how would you manage that the data?
So components can have internal state. So your components can have some internal state where it says, hey, I'm checked, for example. For you can have a checkbox component that knows that it's checked. It doesn't need to be global state. So not everything needs to be in this centralized entity. Only things that affect other things other than that one component need to be somewhere else.
Well, Max,
and that's where Redux gets helpful.
This has been super helpful. Really quick overview on React. Make sure you look up this project. Coming up next, we have the more personal computing area from era from a dev perspective. Should be live right about now. We'll go to that now.